Amen. Well, it is good to be here tonight. I appreciate the chance to get to come back. And it's always a blessing to get to come here, be with your pastor and his wife and family. It's always a joy to be with people that love the Lord. Amen. And I've got used to being here, and I appreciate you so very much. I do want you to pray for me. I've got not much volume. I preached last week over in a High Point, North Carolina, in an outdoor shelter. And we had a great meeting. And it was 98 degrees when I got there on Monday night, preaching outside, wringing wet every night. And Tuesday night was the same. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we preached in fog every night, come through the building. They got my throat tore up. So if I sound a little funny, it matches my looks. I look a little funny, too. So maybe it'll be all right. It is good to be here tonight. Thank you for letting us come. And thank you for the room. Brother Ronnie brought a fruit basket over there to my soul. I'll tell you what's the truth. I told my wife, I believe that's the biggest fruit basket preacher I believe I've ever seen. And I do appreciate that. Turn with me, if you will, tonight in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings, I want to preach on something tonight that I feel confident without doubt. I know your preacher. I'll not preach anything that he's not preached somewhere in the years he's been here. And I'm sure tonight that what I'll preach, he has preached many times here. And a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I hope that something can be said tonight to be an encouragement. A few weeks back, I put on our church sign at the church, America's choices are limited. And what I'm about to say, I know you've heard many times, but I want to reiterate tonight, America's choices are limited. Yes. It's repent or perish.
Right.
It really is. It's repent or perish. Our country is in the worst shape I ever remember in my entire lifetime. And we need help. And right here is the only place it's going to come. It's going to come through the church. I believe that. The world is not going to help the world. They're all in the same boat. It's sinking. And the only help we can get is you and I stay out of the boat of the world and try to stay in another boat to hope we can call them out of their boat unto ours. Amen. Trust God to help us this week. In verse number 8, and again, I sound rather funny even to myself. I hope maybe God can help us tonight. Our throat's pretty bad. The Bible said, and it fell on a day, 2 Kings 4, 8. The Bible said, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived, and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite." Just be patient with the reading. I know this is a considerable amount of reading. He said, "Run now, I pray thee, to her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she called him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord?" And the answer to that, of course, is no. "Did I not say, Do not deceive me?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not, and lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and lay upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. Just a few more verses. And he went up, and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned, and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy child." Then she went in and fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and went out. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Do ask God to help us in this meeting. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you, Lord, for all the good singing tonight. Thank you that we are redeemed. And God, we rest safe and secure in the blessed rock of ages tonight. I thank you, dear God, for letting us be here. I thank you for traveling mercy and grace on the road again this day. And Lord, I ask you now, dear God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, to meet with us tonight. Dear Lord, I plead the blood of Christ, our Lord, over anything that would try, God, to hinder and cramp the meeting tonight. I pray, dear God, that you'd speak to us. Dear Lord, we need help in these days. Now, Father, I know you're the only place, God, that we can get the help that we do need. So please, our Lord, meet with us mightily in the service this hour and stir every heart. I do not know the needs of the lives, but God, I know you do. And so we ask you to help us tonight. And for everything, dear God, that you do, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. I want to try for a few minutes to preach on this text and use it in this way. Let me just tell you a little bit about how this little thought came to my heart just a few weeks back. I'm talking just a few weeks back, and I've preached other messages out of this passage. But some weeks back, we has just had a lot of problems. You know how life gets sometimes. You just get overloaded with the cares of life. Anybody like that here? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, just everything seems to be coming at you at tornado pace, and it won't let up. And we've been through 4 months of difficulty and troubles, and one thing right after another. We had a problem around the building where the downspout lines collapsed, and we got water under the building, and we had all sorts of troubles going on. During the time of that, we had 3 heart attacks through the church, and had some open heart surgeries, and trying to get all that work done around the church, and preach a few meetings, and preach on the radio, and visit the hospitals. I was going from about 6 in the morning to 1 o'clock for about 4 months. And one prayer meeting, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it will be 6 or 7 weeks this coming Wednesday night. On Wednesday morning, I got up. Just stay with me a minute. And I got up, and I thought, well, I'll just go to Hardee's and get me a biscuit. That's a good way to begin any day. And so I thought, I'll go to Hardee's and get me a biscuit. And I did. And I got over there, and I just backed up kind of to the bank, and I sat there and ate that biscuit. And I'm telling you, I was so overwhelmed. I had more to do that day than I could possibly get done. I was so overwhelmed. I was tired on the inside. I was tired on the outside. My mind was tired, my spirit was tired, and my body was tired. And I just sat there a minute, and I began to cry. And I said, Dear Lord, I don't know if I can get through this day or not, if you don't help me. I said, Dear God, I need help, and I need you to tell me what I need to do first. And I'm telling you, friend, I'm not talking about Oral Robertsism. I'm not talking about Kenneth Copelandism. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God spoke deeply into my heart and said, what you need to do is do nothing. You just need to go home and let it all slide today. Amen. And so, get in your study and pray a while and read the Word of God. Amen. And so, that sounded like a pretty good idea to me. And so, I just went to the study, and I got in my study there at the house, and I began to pray. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God said it definitely to my soul, as I ever heard the Lord. God said, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Everything is going to be right. And I got to thinking about this woman here and how she could say, it is well. I want to preach tonight on this thought. And God gave me this message, and I preached at that prayer meeting night to our people. I want to preach on this tonight on how a troubled soul can say, it is well. How a troubled soul can say, it is well. Now, we know that this is one of, to me, this is one of the most amazing statements in the Old Testament. I don't find any greater statement of faith anywhere in the Old Testament. So, let's try to look at this passage tonight. Here is a woman. This story surrounds a godly witness, Elisha. It surrounds a great woman, this Shunammite woman. And it surrounds a glorious work where the Lord resurrected her dead boy, her boy from the dead. Now let me put this at us tonight and try to say a few things here. And my, I'd like to be brief, but I don't believe I possibly can, and so you just as well to get used to it before I start. Amen. Let me just say a few things, 2 or 3 things about this thing about well-being in your soul. I believe a lot of folks has a false feeling of well-being. I think a lot of people, are you listening to me, has a false feeling of well-being. That is, they're feeling like everything's okay, but all around them, it might not be all right. God said to the church of the Laodiceans, He said, Thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, but you know not that you're miserable and poor and wretched and blind and naked. In other words, they had a feeling like everything was all right, but really down inside, it wasn't all right. I believe the vast majority of our world is operating under a false feeling of well-being, don't you? They think everything's going good, and the world's about ready to cave in, and the tribulation's about ready to set in on us, and Jesus is going to come, and then they're ready to drop off into hell feeling good about themselves. Let me just say, secondly, by the introduction, not only is there a false feeling of well-being, I believe some folk are operating under a fleshly faking of well-being. A fleshly faking well-being. We come into the door, amen, now just stay with me here a minute, and we shake hands with people, and we smile, and we grin, and we say, how are you? And you say, well, I'm doing pretty good, everything's wonderful, when really down inside, we're dying, and we're dead, and our world's caved in. sin. And really things aren't well. And we'll fake it anyhow. And we like people to believe and put out the persona that everything's just wonderful in our world. Isn't that the truth? Have you ever faked it? Well, let's be honest, I have. I've said things was well when things wasn't well. I've tried to make people believe everything was well when I was dying inside. Amen. Well, now is there a false feeling of well-being and a fleshly faking of well-being? There's a fervent faith that says, thank God, even though it ain't well, it's going to be well. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, when the devil walks in and kicks your back door in and your children mess up and your marriage is getting in trouble and you've lost your job and things ain't going well at the church, can you still say, as this Shunammite woman, it shall be well, and it is well, when yet there's trouble down in your heart? Stay with me now. Stay with me. Now, get with me here just a minute. I want you to get a hold of this picture, and then I'll come to my text real shortly. Listen to this picture. If you get this picture, it'll help you. I think sometimes we just read the Bible, and we don't really read it as though we really get the meaning of what's being said. Brother Sam, how would you feel if you came home from school, and this little boy back here, one of these kids, if you came home from school, and all of a sudden, they said, my head's hurting, and in just a few hours, that child was dead. Now, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? I mean, just think about it. How would you feel if you all of a sudden found out that your child had just died? Brother Ronnie, if you got a call that Michael and his wife or Michael had just been killed in a car wreck, wouldn't that be awful news? I mean, really, wouldn't that be awful news? Here's a woman, friend, that her son has just sat on her lap, on her knees, and died right there in the house. And yet she's able to go forward and say, it's well. Amen. I got to thinking about that. How can a person with such a troubled soul say it's well? Could you honestly do that? I don't think I could. But I got to look in this passage. And I saw three things that I want to try to share with you tonight that God helped me see, and it helped their church, and maybe it'll help you. And three things that will help you be able to say it is well when trouble comes. Let me make one more statement, and then I'll come to my text. You cannot isolate nor insulate yourself from trouble. Trouble is going to come. I don't care if you're a preacher's wife, a deacon, or a deacon's wife. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, there's days that trouble is going to come to you anyway. You are not immune to difficulties and troubles just because you're a Christian. You say, well, you ain't getting nowhere. Well, you just listen a minute. Maybe we'll get there. So, I want to give you three things that God helped me see from this passage that maybe help you. Now, let me ask you this. Now, I'll come to my text if God will help me. Let me ask you this. How many in this crowd tonight, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to say anything, but how many tonight, I wonder in this building, has got troubles? We've done heard about a sister's uncle that passed away today, I think. And I found out coming down the road that a lady that I know is in Kingsport Hospital right now, dying with heart problems and a long story. And I mean, friend, most of us here has got some kind of heartache. I'll tell you what I find. If you talk to most people for 5 or 10 minutes, I'm talking about a mere stranger in the streets, you'll find out in 5 or 10 minutes that everybody you talk to has got some kind of heartache. I don't mean anybody's got a good life today. Now, God's been good. I'm not saying that. I'm saying everybody you meet has got some sort of trouble. I'm just honest with you. You can't stop the trouble. But you can help how you respond to the trouble. Let me say number one, why could this woman say, it is well with a troubled soul? Now, I know some of y'all think I'm going to give you something real deep. But I want to give you some simple things that help me. I want to say number one, she was behaving in agreement with God. She was behaving in agreement
with God. Now, won't you agree? And we'll look at a text. Won't you agree that when you behaved in agreement with God and trouble comes, it helps you say, it is well. There's been a few times in my life when trouble came, I had to question myself, was it something that I'd done or something that I failed to do? It's a whole lot easier to say it's well when you have walked in agreement with God in your life, then trouble comes and your conscience doesn't bother you and you're not guilty about why you're going through the difficulty. Is that not true? If our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God? It's sure a whole lot easier when difficulty comes. If you know down deep in your heart you've been behaving in agreement with God. Help me here now. I need a witness out there. Help me here. Amen. Let me just give you a few things here. Let me say, number one, she'd been behaving in agreement with God toward God's man. She behaved in agreement with God toward His man. Look here what she had done. She has a perception of who He is. Verse number 9, she said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. She has deep insight about God's preacher. She's got the persuasion right. In verse number 8, she's constrained him to eat bread. She says, I feel an obligation to help and be kind to the man of God. Now don't doubt me out there. This is part of the message. She said, hey, I know this. I've behaved right toward the man of God. Hey, it helps you when you come down to difficult days and troubled days. It helps you to know that you behaved in agreement with God towards this man. Oh yes, it does, friend. See her perception of him, her persuasion of him. Notice her preparation for him. She feeds him. She furnishes for him. She favors him. She said, it's my responsibility to take care of the man of God. Hello out there. I think you can do better than that now. Amen. She says, it's my responsibility. I feel it's my place to take care of the man of God. Amen. And when trouble comes, she didn't say, it might be that I treated God's man wrong. It might be that I treated him in a difficult way. She knows down in her heart she's behaved right toward the man of God. I've seen a few people that had trouble because I believe they had misbehaved towards the man of God. Well, I could just take right there and get a hold of the cord and just ring that bell a little while. Have you behaved right toward the man of God? Well, let's go a step further. Not only she behaved right towards God's man, she behaved right towards God's message. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12, he said to Hazai's servant, call this Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And the inference here is there was an obedient action the minute he called. Have you been obedient to the message of God? Amen. And this is what God said to preach tonight now. Have you been in obedience to the message of God? It's a whole lot easier when trouble comes, friend, to say, I know I behaved right toward the man of God. I know I was obedient when God called, I responded in an obedient manner the minute God called. You see, it's a whole lot easier. You say, preacher, you're going to stay at? I'm going to say that a dozen times tonight or more. It's a whole lot easier when you know you've been in agreement with the man of God. And then the message comes, go tell her that I need her. Tell her to come here. And the minute she heard that word, she dropped what she was doing. And she obeyed and responded to the message of God. Amen. Have you been responsive to what's been preached around here lately? Help me, dear God. Have you been responsive to the message of the man of God? Have you been moving when God said to move? I tell you, friend, it won't look so well on you and it won't feel so well in you when you get down the road and trouble comes and your conscience says, maybe I didn't respond to what God said to me last revival. God spoke to me last Sunday. God's been dealing my heart about this issue. And I've not been obedient. And now trouble comes. And I just know this of a fact. I know it by experience. It's hard when you've got a guilty conscience It's hard to say it's going to be all right when your conscience knows that it's not been obeying God the way God says for you to be. Hello out there now. That's truth now. Have you been obedient to the Lord lately? You see, we expect God to just swing down and shake the place, but then we drag our feet when God says something to us. I tell what I've learned. Obedience, friend, is not always something you can do tomorrow. You better do it while God says to do it. Oh, this is simple preaching. Have you been obedient to the message of God? Have you behaved rightly toward the man of God? Let's go a step further. Look in verse number 13, if you will. And he said unto her, what's been done for you? Would you now speak to the king or to the captain? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And what she's saying here is, I'm willing to live in my means. I'm living to live in the providence that God placed me in. The devil's trying to bite my mind right now that I'm not getting a hold of what you're not getting a hold of what I'm saying. She's willing to live in her means. She said, I don't have to live in the king's palace. I'm willing to live where providence has placed me. I know this is a simple friend, but you'll miss it. But you listen to me a minute. If you learn to live in your means today, it'll save you a whole lot of trouble tomorrow. You learn to live where providence has placed you today. She said, I don't need the hustle and bustle of a bigger life to make me satisfied. I'm satisfied with where I'm at. A lot of folk get in trouble later. And they know that they didn't live in their means when they needed to. And now they've got in trouble and they can't say it's going to be okay because I learned how to live. Whatsoever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. I've learned how to be bound. I've learned how to be abased. I've learned how to stand where I'm at. Have you ever learned that? Well, help me, dear Lord. Amen. Have you ever learned that yet? Our government ain't learned it. Sometimes the devil just gets something in your mind, something in your eyes, and something in your heart. And a few weeks back, I saw a Dodge truck. Man, that thing was pretty. It had everything on it you could possibly put on one, I think, Brother Rodney. It was the prettiest color. It had nice everything inside. I drove by it several times on my way up to the hospital and back. And every time I'd go by, that thing would wink at me. It'll get better, just hang on. And I got to thinking, I might need that, you know. I'd look good going down the road in that thing. And I saw one day, I thought, well, I'll stop in and see how much it cost. And I stopped in, and it cost $48,900. Well, I decided I didn't need it right real quick. But I kept driving by it a few days, and I thought, well, I'll stop and talk to the salesman. And I thought, he see what kind of deal. He gave me a good deal. He knocked her down to $34,000 straight out with no trade-in or nothing. No, that mind thought, yeah, you need that, you know, and I'll go pray about it and all that business. And just cause you can afford something don't mean you're supposed to have it. And, amen. I mean, I had to really pray to get that out of my mind. Sometimes, friend, you get in trouble cause you just don't stay in your means where divine providence has placed you.
Yeah, that's right.
You better stay where providence placed you. God placed you in this church. Stay there. Bless God, don't be changing seats every 6 months and going somewhere else. I know this ain't a shouting right now, but you see, when you get down the honor and the trouble and days come, you know that you have been behaving right toward God's man, toward God's message, and towards the means God's put in your life. It helps you to say, it's well. It's well. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. You won't say it's well someday down the road if you don't live a daily means of where it's well every day. Amen. It don't just turn out well 6 months down the road or 10 years down the road if you don't contemplate and work purposely to have it well every day. Well, let's go a step further. See if someone gets something else out here. She's been behaving right toward her mate. Look here in verse number 9. She said unto her husband, behold, I perceive this in the holy man of God. Verse 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him a bed. Let us do it. Verse number 22. She called unto her husband, and she's right with her mate. I'm trying to grab at something. This may not be too deep for you. But listen, she's right in every affair of her life. And that helps her say down the road, it's well when trouble comes. Is it well between you and your mate? Is it well between you and your wife? Is it well between you and your husband? She was right with her mate. They wasn't fighting and quarreling. She was submitted to her mate. She didn't just do what she wanted to do. Everything she did, she ran by her husband. She was submitted to her husband. And their home was red. Amen. Everything about their marriage was red. No wonder, friend, she could say in a day of difficult problems, she could say it's well. Is it well in your home? Is it well in your home? I don't know nothing about you. I'm just preaching up here. Is it well in your home? Are you wives submitted to the leadership of your husband, the authority of your husband? Well, it's going to get quiet. Is it well in your home, husband, daddy, father? Are you the spiritual leader of your house? Are you the one that sets the spiritual tones in your house? Amen. You won't say it's well down the road if it's been bad in your home life. I've got a young preacher at our church. Long story, I won't go into the details. He told me the other day, he said, preacher, my ministry will never go nowhere. He said, I know it won't. He said, my wife is not right. She's not going to get it right. Everything I say, she fusses about. When I tell our little girl how she's going to dress, and she's going to a Christian school and not to a public school, he said, she literally took a cuss fit on me the other night, and I know that God will bless my ministry when my home's not right. And he's right. Off quiet. See, we want everything to be well in a troubled day. We forget about all these little things that help us live in a state of well-being up to that point. I've never seen a day when homes are so messed up. I won't go into stories that's running through my mind right now of things I've faced in the ministry and things I've faced in revivals and things of people's homes that's messed up. Amen. I can't help what goes on up there, but thank God I can keep my home right. Is your home right tonight, sir? Is your home right tonight, ma'am? I'm telling you, this is simple. But you'll not say it as well. Like this woman said, when trouble comes, if you're not behaving right toward the man of God and the message of God and the means God's put you in and towards your mate. But notice this, she's behaving right in her modesty. Look at verse 15. He said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. She's got her modesty right. She said, I recognize that there's a line between the sexes, and I'm not going to go into that room where that man of God's at. He'll mess up my testimony. He'll mess up his testimony. I realize there's a line of modesty that I must keep, and she's kept that modesty right. Have you been modest in your life? I'll tell you, friend, you won't be able to say it as well. When you've not been right in these areas, she's behaving in agreement with God in her modesty. And you know what could be said right there. I'm not going to take the time to do it. I know you, preacher. I know he's preached on the dress codes and all of that. Are you behaving right in your modesty? Let's move a step further. What about verse 20? And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She's behaving right in her motherly duty. Amen. Amen. Her life is revolving around her family. I know you think this ain't going nowhere, friend. I tell you, you'll not get much bigger than this. If things ain't right around your house on a daily basis, they won't be well when trouble comes. Her whole life revolving around that boy. I got to think about this other day. I guess most folk would call him a mommy's boy. The Bible said he's grown. He's not a kid. The Bible said he's grown. Didn't it say it? And yet he comes in and he sits on mother's knees until he dies. You'd say, well, he's a mommy's boy. That's what he was. Well, I got thinking about that. I would to God that our families had some of that stuff left in it. The world is family oriented, and a grown boy still loved his mother enough to sit on her knees. She's got her motherly duties right. She's not out here. She was at the house when her daddy, when the daddy said, send him to his mother. She wasn't out here interested in a career somewhere. She was out here interested in being a mother to her boy. This may not be the best message I ever preached, but it's what God said to preach. Have you been acting right towards your motherly duties where you have made over your family? She didn't feel like being a house mom was making her a little woman. Bible called her a great woman. Well, let's go a step further. She's behaving right towards the ministry. Look at verse 23. She comes to her husband and says, send me to the man of God. Verse 23. And he said to her, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Now, what do you mean neither new moon nor Sabbath? New moon, every first of the month, they had a meeting and they wouldn't have no work. They would take up offerings and burn sacrifices. And on the Sabbath days, obviously, according to that verse, she's been going to church every Sunday. Oh, the devil's trying to tell me I missed it tonight, but I've not missed it. Every new moon she'd been used to going where the man of God was preaching. Every Sabbath day she'd been used to going to where the man of God was preaching. You can write her down, son. She'd been behaving right toward the ministry. She wasn't out here tomcatting around everywhere on the Lord's day. Oh yes, oh yes. She'd been going down to the house of God every time, every new moon. She'd been used to going up there to Carmel and listening to Elisha. Every Sabbath day she'd been used to going up there to Carmel to listen at Elisha. And no wonder, thank God, that might not mean much to you, but thank God, no wonder, when trouble come and everything in her life fell in, she looked back over her life and she said, I've been living in agreement with God and it's going to be all right. God's going to take care of it. I've been living where I live. Live and doing what I ought to do. It sure helps you. You've been in agreement with God. Let me give you the last truth on this part. Now, she's in agreement with God concerning His movements. Now listen to me. When her deep joy, her boy, became her deep pain, she was willing to submit to God. Boy, it's easy. Oh, listen to me. Help me, dear Lord. It sure helps you to submit to what God's doing in your life. When you look back over the last few months and weeks and years of your life and say, I've been trying to touch Him bases and treat the man of God right. I've been trying to respond obediently to the message of God. I've been trying to live in the means that God placed in my life. I've been trying to obey the ministry and go to the house of God. I've been trying to act right toward my mate. I've been trying to act right in my motherly duty. When God's hand of mercy seems to smite you with trouble, it's a whole lot easier to say, it's going to be all right. I've been living for God. And I've seen it the other way. Brother Ronnie, I've seen it. I know you have. I've seen trouble come.
And I've seen people have to start confessing and pleading and crying and questioning. Is it because of something I did? Is it because of something I didn't do? I've had people look me in the eye when trouble comes and say, "Preacher, I don't know what this is all about, but God spoke to me about something a year ago and I didn't do it, and I wonder if this might have something to do with it." Now, this doesn't mean that. I know this is simple. But it's sure good when heartaches come down your path that you can say this, and not a Pharisee, but confident in yourself. You've tithed, you've went to church, you've listened at the preaching, you've tried to back the man of God, you've tried to be modest, you've tried to act right in the public, you've tried to keep your testimony right, you've tried to have a good family, you've tried to back your church, you've tried to back the ministry. It's a lot easier to say, "I've been behaving in agreement with God. Everything's going to be okay." I'm telling some of you something tonight. Now, I'm not preaching so much. When I preached this at our church, it was more on the negative side somehow. That you better be getting it right. But I feel like there's somebody here tonight that you're hurting. And there's trouble come down your path. God's trying to tell you, "You done right by me in the past. I'm going to do right by you now." Hallelujah. Just go ahead and do what she said. It shall be well. It's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of it. You think God didn't see that woman? Listen, don't you help me, dear God. Don't you think God didn't see that woman when she made up a bed for the man of God and put him some food in there? Hey, God, don't forget our work of faith and labor of love that we show to His name. Don't you think that's right? Don't you think God didn't see her when the message went out to her from the man of God, "Come here, I've got something to say to you"? Don't you think God didn't remember her when she acted modestly in her life? Don't you think God didn't see her when she acted right towards her mate? Don't you think God didn't see her, friend, when she acted right toward her motherly duty? Man, it's sure a whole lot better. I know I've repeated myself 40 times, and I don't usually do that. But it's sure a whole lot better to have that peace and that confidence that God's going to step in and help me now, because I've been acting right all along about Him. But I'd hate to stand in some people's shoes that's run the church down and missed services and went to the world and been unmodest and ain't been right around the house and ain't behaved right toward the maid and ain't lived in their means. I'd hate to see trouble come and have to be in their conscience. I'd hate to lay down the guilt that just made me. This is because of my failure in the past. God's trying to get my attention. If you're here tonight, I want to say two short things and I'm done. Two sort other truths, and I'm going to preach on them alone. But not only was she behaving right, or behaving in agreement with a man of God, but listen to this. She was believing in the awareness of God. Where did she put that boy? She put him on the bed of the man of God. You know what she put him there for? She knew consciously that that was the place that God had took note of her actions before. Amen, son. She said, "I remember that day that I come into that room and God took note of my actions in there. And God said, 'I'm going to give you a son.'" Boy, it's sure a blessing when you know the eye of God's on you. When trouble comes your way, you know God's got His eye on you. Oh yes, she said, I'm believing in the awareness of God. God knows the place I'm in. God knows the pain I'm having. God knows the problems I'm having. God knows everything about me. I'm just believing in the awareness of God. Boy, it hits you. I used to, and I like tonight, and I may not preach the best I ever preach tonight. I used to, I'd go to the motel room, and I'd lay all night and worry myself to death about it. I don't do that anymore. Not like I used to anyway, maybe some. I'll tell you why. I've learned that God's aware. God's everywhere I'm at.
Amen. As long as I'm trying to act right, God's aware of what's going on in my life. You think God's forgot you now that you're in trouble? I went through a spell physically. I've never been in a healthy body in my whole life. I've lived sick ever since I was born. I went through a spell. You was at our church at the time. I went through a spell where my health broke. I don't ever feel good. I went through a bad spell. Devil got a hold of my mind and said, I'm going to shut you down and you'll never preach anymore. You're on your way out. You're on your way out. But friend, what helped me get through it was knowing that that God was aware of what God's going through. God's aware of you tonight. God's aware of what you're going through. I may not know. You may not be able to tell anybody. And the best you do, you still can't get people to understand what you go through sometimes. But God's aware. God knows, friend. God sees you when you get up in the morning. He sees you down sittings. And He sees you uprisings. You're compassed. You're beset with the presence of God. Oh, isn't that a blessing to know God's with you? You may not always feel like God's with you. Now, sometimes you get up in the morning and you seem like, y'all listen to me, man. Sometimes you get up in the morning and seem like as soon as your foot hits the floor, you are aware that God is aware of you. And you feel God's presence the moment your foot hits the floor. Have you ever been that way? There's times you go to pray and you don't even hardly get bowed down to where you're weeping before your knee even hits the ground. And you're aware that God's with you. But then there's other days you get up and you couldn't find God with nothing for nothing. And maybe I'm the only one like that tonight. Sometimes it gets pretty cold around the house of God. A few weeks back we went through a dry spell. Seemed like God hadn't moved and nothing to nobody. And I was as dry as I could be. You ever get that way? Amen, friend. Don't look at me like that. You ever get that way?
Yeah.
Devil said to me, you're done here. Why don't you resign and go somewhere else where they'll appreciate you? Oh, they somewhere that'll appreciate you. I got to where week after week after week I'd preach, and they'd look at me like a calf at a new gate. But I would tell you something, friend. I'm glad, blessed be God, that I still say that God is aware of where I'm at. God ain't left you. I won't get ahead. I don't know what I'll preach this week, but I preached yesterday out of Revelation 3:20. I stand at the door and knock. I talked about it the last part of that thing. There's one thing I've never caught about it. He said, you let me in, I'll come in and sup with you and he with me. And so on. I never caught this before. But he said, when I get in there, I never did find where he ever left. He said, you just let me in. I never did find him say, if I get in, I'll leave after a while. I'm glad, thank God, he walked in. Amen. He's still there, and he's going to be there tomorrow, and he's aware of what you're going through. I don't care how long you've got. God knows where you're at. She said, I'm just going to go back to where I first figured out that God was aware of me. Put that boy back there in that bed. I'm going to walk off and leave him there. I'm going to just leave him right there. Listen, she shut the door on him. Now, you're getting a real story tonight. That'd be hard to do, brother. I remember that little old girl when I was here a year ago. In July, I asked you about a while ago. I knew y'all just had a little girl. And you couldn't deny that for nothing. But if she just died, could you shut the door on her and walk away saying it's well? But it sure helps when you know you've been with God where you're supposed to have been with God. Man, it brings peace to your heart. We had 42 people get up and walk off and leave us a few years back in one meeting over a doctrinal issue. 42 got up and left. My heart broke. My heart busted right down the middle. I cried my eyes out for a year and a half. I'm telling you, I didn't call a preacher and talk to him. I cried my eyes out. The greatest comfort I had was I knew I was right.
Amen.
I knew I was right. I didn't have to fight with them. I knew God would take my part eventually. When you've done right by God, He'll remember you down the road for it. She's believing in the awareness of God. She's saying, I know God sees my little boy in that room. Let me give you the last truth and I'll close. Number one, she's behaving in agreement with God. Number two, she's believing in the awareness of God. Aren't you glad God does see us? Let me just say that one more time. You believe God sees us right here tonight? Oh, God took note tonight that you didn't go to the Walmart. God took note tonight that you came in here. You say, well, it ain't going to make no big difference. It'll make a difference, friend. You look back at it someday when you're old and gray and your children need help. God will remember you. Hallelujah. I could go to meeting right there for about 2 seconds. Thank God, friend. It's a blessing to know that God's aware of where you're at. He saw the children of Israel in Egypt. He saw Moses down there. He saw Daniel in the lion's den. He saw the 3 Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. You think He don't see us in 2009 with all the troubles we got around us? Here's the last truth and I'm done. She was behaving in agreement with God. Number two, she could say it was well because she was believing in the awareness of God. But number three, she was banking on the ability of God. She was banking on the ability of God. She said, I know if I can just get at His feet, I know He'll help me. Look, I want you to look at this verse of Scripture. Look in Hebrews chapter number 11, please. Notice her faith. Her faith. Look in Hebrews 11. She's banking on the ability of God. Look in Hebrews 11. This is, you know, is a what we call the chapter of the hall of faith and of the saints of God. Look, if you will, please, in verse number 32. Look at it. It said, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Don't you think that's that woman we're preaching about? God said that woman had some faith in me. She's saying God's able to fix this. Now I'm going to tell you something. I've stuttered tonight and kind of staggered around a little bit, but I was preaching over here a few weeks back, Brother Ronnie, just a few months back. Back in, I don't even remember now. I go so much, can't remember where. But I was over here with Steve Goolsby over here in Georgia. I was preaching with him, and so I preached 3 nights over there, 2 nights, I guess. And I have a heart problem, and it's getting worse every day. And I was born with a hole in my heart. And doctor said, you won't live to be 8 years old. If I live till a week from tomorrow, I'll be 51. Amen. Say amen right there. This will make a devil mad. Now, I was over there that night, and I had preached on Thursday night. And I'm telling you the honest truth. I got to hurting the worst I've ever hurt in my entire life, physically. I was literally bowed over. I got in every position I knew, humanly speaking, with my heart hurting. I was having chest pain so bad. They went on for 1 hour and 45 minutes. And I finally called my wife and I said, don't worry. And I'm calling Steve and ask him if you'll take me to the emergency room. Chest pains are the worst they've ever been. And I hung up from her and I lay in there in the bed with 5 pillows behind me. And I hope you know that I'm not charismatic. No. But I thought to myself, I thought God's able if He wants to touch me. And I'd been praying. I thought I'm just going to get out of the bed and pray one more time. And Brother Ronnie, God in heaven is my witness and I'm telling the truth. I said, this is what I said. I said, dear God, I said, I know with no doubt in my mind that you can touch me if you want to. And I am telling you the truth.
In 15 seconds, I felt it. It started right there. And that pain just went down and it was gone. I got up, went to bed, and slept like a baby. Now you can believe that, you can call me what you want to. I still believe in the ability of God. I still believe God's able. I don't care what's the matter with you tonight. I pray, thank God, if you've been living for Jesus, and you've been living in agreement with God, and you've been believing in the awareness of God, go ahead and bank on the ability of God. Go ahead and say, God's able to take care of this. God's able to meet this need. God can meet this need. I still believe we ought to trust Him and live by faith as much as we can. We don't know how to live by faith today. God said these women received their dead raised to life again. I believe He's talking about this woman. She didn't go forth to complain to the man of God. She went forth believing that if she can just reach God. Have you got that kind of faith tonight? Where's your faith? Where's your trust? Where's your belief to believe that God is aware of what you're going through and God's able? God's able. I'm telling you, I'm preaching what God told me to preach tonight. When the last time God seen you, put your faith into action and trust Him. I was reading sometime back, and I may have said this year before, but I was reading sometime, been a few years back, and I was reading how the Bible said that by faith, the children of Israel kept the Passover. They come out of Egypt. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Boys say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But man, I got thinking about that. God passed over 40 years of their life. He said, you came out of Egypt and the walls of Jericho fell. But I didn't see one thing that you did in 40 years as an act of faith that I could write about in my Bible. What about your life? By faith, I got saved in 1979. By faith, I got saved in 1984. By faith, I got saved in 1990. And then one day, you cross over Jordan and you're gone. And God can't write about an act of faith in all those years. I don't know what I'm trying to say to somebody tonight. I'm trying to tell you that God may have brought you to this trouble and difficulty in your life just to polish that faith a little bit. Get you to say, I'm going to trust God. That don't mean that you're going to have everything met and all your needs are going to be taken care of and you're going to be miraculously healed by daybreak. But it does mean that you're going to bank on the ability of God. There was her faith. That was her fervency. I'm about done. Her fervency. She said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to stay fervent. I'm going to stay right here. I will not. She took hold of his feet and she said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I'm not leaving you. I'll get some help. I wish we'd come to meetings like that. She goes forward. She goes forward. You know what she did? She shut the door on a chapter of her life and said, I'm just going to forget about that part of my life. Hey, sometimes you just have to shut the door on a chapter of your life and quit whining and feeling about it all the time and go forward. Amen. Just get up and say, have you ever studied that word forward in the Bible? God told the children of Israel, stand at the Red Sea, go forward. David rose and took him a sling and a stone and ran toward forward, toward Goliath. Over and over again in the Bible, when Jesus had died in Mark 16, and the disciples went forward and preached the gospel to every creature. Sometimes you just need to quit whining and get up and go forward. Our churches are dying because we're sitting around like that woman, rocking our problems on her knees while everybody's dying. Hope you get feeling better. And the breath's leaking out of us because we won't go forward. We're rocking our problems on our knees. And what, we're going to wake up some morning with a dead life and a dead church, and our problems killed us because we sat there and rocked them instead of getting up and moving forward. I found sometimes you just have to do something. Just do something. Hallelujah. Her fervency, her forwardness, her faith. I like this. Would y'all give me just another brief second here? I like this. I've read that passage, Brother Ronnie. I'm not bragging. I've read the Bible through many times. I've read that passage, and I never had caught this little statement until a few weeks ago when I was reading this again on Wednesday. Here's what the Bible said. The Bible said that Elisha rose and followed her. I would like to have a church every once in a while that I could follow. Well, okay. Let me explain. Sometimes I get so tired of every ounce and fiber of the spirituality of a meeting resting on my shoulders. When I'm down, everybody bottoms out. And if I ain't plugged into a 440, they don't get a trickle. She said, come on, preacher. Come on. Come on, preacher. We got to get over there. Man, wouldn't you like to be the one that would pick up and lead the way? Why do we all just sit around and we play follow the leader? Why can't we just get out front every once in a while and say, I've been in agreement with God. I'm believing in the awareness of God. I'm banking on the ability of God. And I'm going to get out and pick up a load. Oh, I'm just a preaching here tonight. It may not be nothing deep. I'm just a preaching. And I've been at Little Rock. We have put in a parsonage, built a new parking lot, built, added on to the old church, bought another 5 acres of ground, built a new church. I drew the prints. I worked every day, daylight and dark, and built the building with my hands. Water got under the building. Mold set in. The new building. The very family, preacher, that put it all together and helped me do the work, the contractor in our church, seen it was all to be fixed, and he left us and went to another church. He didn't want to have to put his hands to the plow and fix his mess. I worked for 4 months getting it all fixed up. Sitting up there now needing about one good day of two or three good men. And I ain't had a chance to get back to it. I told my wife the other day, I said, I'm just going to let it sit there and see how long it is for some man to step up and say, preacher, can we fix that? Yep. Wouldn't it be a blessing to take a load off your pastor sometime? And say, I think we'll follow and let him, we'll lead and let him follow a little while. Let him drag around in the background and rest a little bit. Oh, don't look at me like that. Come here, y'all looking at me like you got choked right about there. Is it well tonight, Sam? Is it well with you? Is it well with your wife? Is it well with your children? Most people say, no, it's bad, it's terrible, it's awful. I'm closing. It's awful. It's bad. I've heard that. I'm sick of it. It's bad. It's awful. Politics, government, economy. It's bad. It's awful. It's bad. It's awful. It's bad. It's awful. Makes me want to gag after a while. I hear everybody talking, it's bad. You got it made better than you ever thought you had it made. Are you listening to me? I've done quit preaching, went to Madeline, I guess. But when I got married, moved into a little 40-foot single-wide trailer, I never believed I'd live in a house like I live in today. Drive a car like I drive. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. Why don't we quit complaining? And I'm close, Sister Willie, if you'll come. And say, it's going to be okay. Because I've been living or behaving in agreement with God. It's going to be all right. Because I'm believing in the awareness of God. It's going to be okay. Because I'm banking on the ability of God. It's going to be all right. Brother, God knows my heart. I pray for your family many, many a day. If I'm a lion, God can kill me. I'm telling you the truth. I thought about you many a day. I pray for your son many, many, many a day. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I like to get that every once in a while where God just comes by like He did that morning when I was absolutely overwhelmed. And God said, don't do nothing. Let it all slide. And go to your study. Pray a while. I got to praying and God said, it's going to be all right. I thought, I believe I'll just take His word for it. And quit worrying. And quit laying awake. And eating nerve pills and Tylenol. And I don't be on nerve pills, just to correct that. Eating Tylenol, that's about as bad, I guess. Laying awake all night and waking up in the morning with your stomach gnawing at you. A preacher friend of mine, some time back, his wife found out she had breast cancer. Her mother died with breast cancer. Some of her sisters had died with breast cancer. And the minute he heard breast cancer, the first thing he thought was, this is a death warrant to my wife. He said, preacher, he said, I've preached for 37 years. He said, I thought I knew what living by faith was about. He said, I went home, I was so mad. He said, I took a pot of flowers and threw it through a window. He said, I was so angry that God was going to take my wife when I thought we'd just come to the place that we could enjoy living a little bit. He said, I had to apologize to God later. He said, I went through 6 months of depression. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to do nothing. All I wanted to do was sit around and rock my problem. He said, then one day, God began to give me peace. It's going to be all right. She's alive today, doing well. Look at me. I preached a little more anointed messages, but may I tell you tonight, it's going to be okay. You know how I know that? Because our Father is watching over our every move. And it's going to be okay. You hear tonight, sickness, job loss, children problems, heartaches, trouble. I want you to just go ahead and stick your neck out in the faith. And say, I believe it's going to be well. Let's stand and bow to pray.